This morning, I have the privilege of introducing our preacher this morning. He is my friend and one of my favorite people. And he's sitting there in that corner. And it's a special day for him. We'll talk about that later. But he has a word for us this morning. So please join me in welcoming into the pulpit Pastor Henry Orlando Johnson, Jr.
Amen. Amen, amen, amen. First things first, did Romero leave? He's at Kids Church. Is Tim and his family here today? Man, everything that I had planned on doing, well, I guess there's nothing left to do except to preach. We like to take the time this morning to just lift up a few thoughts from Scripture. As Kesak was reading Joshua chapter 1, I want to remind us that to all of the seminarians, those who have graduated from seminary, those who are called to the ministry, you don't always get your sermon when you're at home. You get some of it. You get the rest of it when the Lord gives it to you. And so listening to Kesak read and with devotion this morning with Pastor Larry, the Lord really clarified the direction in which to travel this morning in his word. You heard about Joshua. Most of the times when we're thinking of Joshua, we're thinking about walking around the walls of Jericho. And they did it until the Lord said, stop doing it, and the walls came tumbling down. C-Square Church, I call it C-Square. It's central, but I call it C-Square. It's important for us to, when we look at Scripture, understand that the Lord was speaking then and he's speaking right now. And we have to position ourselves to listen in order to learn what he's speaking to us now. And so let's pray. Father, thank you for this awesome opportunity to stand here on this day, which is, for me, monumental. It's a milestone in my life. I never thought about being 65, but here I am. I thank you for allowing me to see this beautiful age. When my fares go down, like at 25, but you got to wait till you're 65 for the Charlie card and all that other stuff to go down. I'm thankful, Lord. I say it jokingly, but I appreciate this life that you've given me, and I pray that you help me live it to the fullest. I don't want to miss anything, Lord. So wherever you are, Lord, whatever you're doing, don't do it without me. I want to be a part until my time is up here on earth. So I thank you for your people. I thank you for C-Square and this opportunity to open and unpack your word in Jesus' name. Amen. As the scripture was being read, Joshua was given this great assignment. Moses, this awesome leader. Those of you who know about Moses, Moses is monumental in Scripture and especially in Israel. He's dead. Gone. Gone. And the Lord says to Joshua, Joshua, you're going to lead the people across the Jordan into the land that I promised. Every place in which the sole of your foot treads, it's yours. I had given it to you. It's your land. I gave it to you. Only be strong and courageous. Be careful to do according to all that is written in the word. Don't turn from it to the left or to the right. Or don't turn from the right or to the left. Follow my instructions. You will have success. All that we're reading about in this passage has a parallel with us. We were sitting for at least 2 years waiting to become one. We were waiting to have work done, waiting, waiting, waiting. And then pandemic shows up and we were waiting, and we were waiting online, and we were doing things online that we've never done before, but we were waiting. I would suggest to us that while you were waiting, what were you doing? Were you complaining? Were you murmuring? Were you griping? Were you bitter? I know we had bouts of depression, and you name it, we were dealing with it, and we still are. However, it was part of the process. It was preparation. Israel is preparing to enter into the land of promise. We're already in the building that God gave us 200 years ago. It was ours then. It's ours now. But we're not ready, because we're being prepared for what it is we are being assigned and tasked to do. We're not ready. We're here throughout the week talking about strategizing, what went well, what went bad, what was this, what was that, let's throw this in, let's take that out. We're preparing. And part of that preparation is this, our hearts and our minds. And so when I look at this text, when I think of the Lord saying to Joshua over and over again about being courageous, not deviating, but being courageous, I say the same thing to you, because the Lord has been saying it to me. Be courageous. Be courageous. It's going to take courage for you to move from where you are into the destiny that I have purposed for this church. Now, let me break this down. Why courageous? Courage means having, showing, or done with courage the quality of being ready and willing to face negative situations involving pain or danger. Being willing and ready to face negative. Well, let me break that down, Pastor Larry. You're going to hear a lot of things about what the church should be doing, what the church isn't doing, and how come we ain't like them over here and them over there and at my old church and all that stuff. Get ready. Because it takes courage to hear that, but not deviate to the right or to the left. Because the Lord told you and commanded you, Larry, senior pastor, don't deviate. Straight ahead. Geradeaus, as they say in Germany. Straight ahead. Keep going straight. On the word of the Lord. Because that's all you have, Pastor. You don't have nothing else. Your family loves you, but they can't help you with this. So it's so important that as we're learning about courage, as we're learning about being a church, as God is preparing us for the greater work, because we're not ready yet. I know people are in a hurry. Well, we need to get our ministry teams together and do what? If you notice in this text, and you do need to read this text, go home, take a long look at it, because the preparation process started way back 40 years. Now God says go, and now they can go. They couldn't go before. Why? Because they were afraid. They said they see us as grasshoppers. So there was no heart left in them. They didn't have any courage. They were wimps. They were wimps. They were scared, except for Joshua and Caleb. And so now, as it's time to move into the promised land, they don't just hurry over there. Matter of fact, they're still on the other side. They're not in the land. They're on the other side. Joshua sends out spies. When they finally cross over, they're still not in a hurry to go do anything. They sit on the other side for a while. Why? They were being prepared. They were waiting for instructions from the Lord. I couldn't believe it this morning. Now, I'm getting ready to transition here just slightly, because success is tied to obedience to God's word. I'm talking to Christians, and those who are not, this is important. Success is tied to God's word. Israel has a record of messing up. A record, a historical record of greatness and failure, greatness and failure. When they were up here, they were obeying the Lord. When they were looking up at the ground, they had disobeyed, and there were the consequences. So, this morning, Pastor Larry says, what time is it? I said, it's about 9:40. He says, it's time to go downstairs to the huddle. Here's me. Oh, man. I was getting ready to get in my zone and get my game face on. And he says, it's time to go to the huddle. I chose to obey his words. I came to the huddle. I got direction when I was at the huddle because he was talking about preparation. I said, oh, that's clarification. I should go that direction with the word. But I, in my heart, I wanted to be left alone. But obedience brings success. The key verse, and you have some listed in your bulletins. I like key verses. I like quoting people, but you need to hear what God says about his word. Not so much about what everybody else says. You need to hear when God says something. God is, let's quote God's word. That's just Papa Pastor talking to you. If we're going to quote something, let's quote the word. So, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, key verse. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it. Meditate on it day and night, being careful to do according to all that's written within it. For then will you make your way prosperous, and then will you have success. By doing what? Meditating on the God's word. The word meditate has so many different nuances to it. It means to study. Interestingly, it means also there's complain, commune with your heart. Biblical meditation was never quiet. It was always loud. It was always part audible and part introspection. You're talking to the Lord, interacting with the word, meditating on it. And by the way, Pastor quoted another scripture this morning that I had further proof that obedience means success, and it leads there. He quoted Psalms. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. He quoted Psalms. David was simply talking about, well, I'm going to meditate on God's word, and I'm going to meditate on my thoughts. And may my thoughts, you know, that place where we're thinking about all kinds of things and you know, this is not good. I don't like what he has on and she and that. And may it be acceptable to the Lord. That's what David was talking about. So meditation, the biblical definition, it means to focus on God's word, utter, moan. You're going to have to sit with it. You're going to have to spend some time with it and let it talk back to you. I was conflicted about being here on this. It's strange for me to be back in this house after being out of this house for so long and to seeing all of your faces. Where is he? There he is. Quan Shin, it's good to see you, bro. I missed you. Jeff, I miss Sam. Got them bangs working too, girl. But see, I miss, and I'm recognizing people again. Even with masks, I am beginning to recognize people. And I'm overjoyed. But let me tell you how this journey got started. I'm not bragging, because I can tell you firsthand, I'm hard-headed, obstinate, recalcitrant. But, as my mother used to say, a hard head, it makes a very soft rear end. Meaning I got chastised for my disobedience. But one Sunday afternoon, I'm at home after church minding my business. The phone rings. It's Reverend Thornhill. She calls me up and she says, here, talk to this man. She had had some prophets and apostles at her church. And when they went by this place, he went off. Whose building is that? Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Oh, man, the Lord this, the Lord that. And so when she put him on the phone, these are his words. I never met him, but these are his words. The Lord says, there are two doors. Don't go through the first door. Go through the second door. You will find success when you go through the second door. Now, the only other person that I recall sharing this with is my wife. We both knew what those two doors were. Guess who the second door was? It was you. It was you. And so my act of obedience set some things in motion. Pastor Larry and I used to talk about ministry here. When I would talk about this enormous building with all the issues on it, he would just get so depressed. He would put his head down. He says, I start speaking in tongues on me. I can't wrap my mind around all of that. Welcome. Welcome. But see, this is God. This is obeying him. Even when you don't want to obey him, he causes all things to work together for good. We're not finished. We're just getting started. I would listen again to as he was talking about soccer nights and how it got started and now how it's expanded. What do you think our mandate is from God? Come to my house, be built up in the word. In the word, I'm going to gift you from on high with the Holy Spirit, where all of a sudden you're going to feel the fire and understand what I've been saying to you for a while. But once you've been sitting and learning and working and participating and being available to me, then I'm going to send you out. Then, Lisa, then, John, you'll be fit and ready. And you'll be going out, not empty-handed, but you'll be going out with his word. And see, Joshua and the people of Israel and C Square, they're not in the land, we're in the building. They were not prepared, neither are we. We're being prepared. So this is a place of learning. This is a place to come and bring your burdens. This is a place where you sit with your friends or get them on the phone and say, hey, look, I'm going through some things. I'm dealing with some things. I need your help. This is what church is all about. This is what C Square is about. And let me share this with you. For those of you who may not like exactly what I'm saying, you definitely may not like this. We cannot look like the world. We are not the world. We are in the world. We are Christians. God called us to look like Jesus, to act like Jesus. Because when God looks at the world, he's looking for where his church is. If the church looks like the world, then the church has no purpose. None whatsoever. And this place, he's kept it for 200 plus years, will cease to exist. You can quote me on that. See, Israel, we can't be Israel. If any of you have ever taken a whipping for somebody else, was it fun? So none of y'all ever got chastised for nobody else? I used to get my sisters in trouble all the time. They took a lot of whippings for me. You don't want to go through that. We are the church. We are the light. We are the salt. Israel was God's people who were supposed to be that in the Old Testament. And see, the church was not man's idea. It was God's idea. This is a God idea. Pastor Larry and I didn't sit down and come up with this. Neither did you. God did. And God designed it, and he said, this is what it looks like. And one other important thing that I really need to break down for you. We get caught up so much in trying to be like everybody else that we miss it. First of all, none of you ever defined sin. God did. He said what it was. So I want to help us, or at least attempt to, by giving you a definition that I think you might be able to grasp. God always points out what displeases him. And then he says, I love you. I love you so much that I gave my son to die for you. He that believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I love the world so much that I die for you. Now, I'm defining for you over and over again what displeases me, because that's what I'm going to judge. And even though I love you, I'm still going to judge that. And if you're doing that, you will suffer the consequences. I will judge that, even though I love you. We have this misconception that, oh, God is so loving. He would never do this. No, 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 no. He loves you, but he's saying, I hate that. If you're doing that, that's what I'm going to judge. So, now that you got that, I want you to leave here today asking the Lord, what is my part? What is my role? What is it that you've called me to do? Don't look at your husband and try to figure out what God's called him to do. I guarantee you it's not the same. Because you're not the same. We have a job. We have gifts. We have a God that loves us. And last week when Pastor Larry was preaching in that text, actually we were going to go from John 21 to 15 where Jesus asked that question. Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Well, let me give you this piece of it since I'm talking about love. Jesus asked this question. Why do you call me Lord? And you don't do what I tell you to do. Obedience. And then in John, that was Luke 6:46. And then in John 14:21, he comes back and he says, he who has my commandments and keeps them, that's the person who loves me. And I will love him and my Father will love him and her. And we will disclose ourselves to them. See, love itself is about obedience. I know obedience isn't our favorite word, but you need to learn it because I had to learn it. I can attest God rewards obedience. We are going to be successful. Pastor Larry, Soccer Nights has expanded. This church is going to expand. When we get in line with the Lord, you always talked about opening up those doors and people going out into the city to do ministry. The ministry here, the space got cleared out when the kids left. That's not going to be the future. They're going to leave and it's still going to be crowded because people are going to be here to be equipped from the Lord and by the Lord. So I'm closing. I'm stopping. I have one more teachable thing that I'll give you. I'm standing on the pulpit. The pulpit. This is a podium. This is not a stage. It's a pulpit. Here's the difference. A stage is a place for performances and showmanship. We're not doing any of that. We're just preaching the word of God from the podium on the pulpit. Let's pray. Father, as we prepare our hearts for communion, your word is an everlasting word. It's a word that cuts. It's a word that heals. Your word heals. It brings joy. It brings fullness and wholeness. We thank you for all of that, Lord. We thank you because you loved us so much that you died for us. May we learn to learn your word, obey your word, and see how fruitful we become as a result of our obedience. I thank you now in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen.